so it can't be that. Magnus shook his head. No, everything with Alec is fine. I saw you speaking to Tessa, too, Katerina said, craning her neck to look. Strange to have her here. Is that what's bothering you? Past and future colliding, it must feel a bit strange. Maybe, Magnus said, though he didn't think it was that. Old ghosts, the shadows and might have beens. Though I always liked Tessa and her boys. Her son was a piece of work, said Katerina. As was her daughter. Magnus laughed, though it was as brittle as twigs in winter. I feel the past weighing on me heavily these days, Katerina. The repetition of old mistakes. I hear things, rumblings in downworld, the rumor of coming strife. Fair folk are a proud people, the proudest. They will not take the shaming from the clave without retaliation. They are proud, but patient, said Katerina. They may wait a long time, generations, for vengeance. You cannot fear it coming now, and the shadow may not descend for years yet. Magnus didn't look at her. He was looking down at the tent, where Clary sat talking with Tessa, where Alex stood side by side with Maya and Bat laughing, where Isabel and Simon were dancing to the music Jace was playing on the piano, the haunting sweet notes of Chopin reminding him of another time, and the sound of a violin at Christmas. Ah, said Katerina. You worry about them. You worry about the shadow descending upon those you love. Them or their children. Alec had broken away from the others and was heading up the hill toward the barn. Magnus watched him come, a dark shadow against the darker sky. Better to love and fear than feel nothing. That is how we petrify, said Katerina, and she touched his arm. I'm sorry about Raphael, by the way. I never got a chance to say it. I know you saved his life once. And then he saved mine, Magnus said, and looked up as Alec reached them. Alec gave Katerina a courteous nod. Magnus, we're going down to the lake, he said. Do you want to come? Why? Magnus inquired. Alec shrugged. Clary says it's pretty, he said. I mean, I've seen it before, but there was a huge angel rising out of it, and that was distracting. He held his hand out. Come on, everyone's going. Katerina smiled. Carpe diem, she said to Magnus. Don't waste your time fretting. She picked up her skirts and wandered off toward the trees, her feet like blue flowers in the grass. Magnus took Alec's hand. There were fireflies down by the lake. They illuminated the night with their winking flashes as the group spread out jackets and blankets, which Magnus produced from what he claimed was thin air, though Clary suspected that they had been illegally summoned from Bed Bath and beyond. The lake was a silver dime, reflecting back the sky and all its thousands of stars. Clary could hear Alec naming off the constellations to Magnus, the lion, the bow, the winged horse. Maya had kicked off her shoes and was walking barefoot along the lakeshore. Bat had followed her, and as Clary watched, he took her hand hesitantly. She let him. Simon and Isabel were leaning together, whispering. Every once in a while, Isabel would laugh. Her face was brighter than it had been in months. Jay sat down on one of the blankets and drew Clary with him, his legs on either side of her. She leaned her back against him, feeling the comforting beat of his heart against her spine. His arms reached around her and his fingers touched the codex in her lap. What's this?
A gift for me, and there's one for you too, she said, and took his hand, unfolding his fingers one by one until his hand was open.
She placed a slightly battered silver ring onto it.
A Herondale ring? He sounded bewildered.
Where did you...
It used to belong to James Herondale, she said. I don't have a family tree around, so I don't know what that means exactly, but he was clearly one of your ancestors. I remember you saying the Iron Sisters would have to make you a new ring because Stephen hadn't left you one. But now you have one.
He slid it onto the ring finger of his right hand.
Every time, he said quietly, every time I think I'm missing a piece of me, you give it back. There were no words, so she didn't say any, just turned around in his arms and kissed him on the cheek. He was beautiful under the night sky, the stars shedding their light down over him, gleaming against his hair and eyes and the Herondale ring shining on his finger. A reminder of everything that had been and everything that would be. We are all the pieces of what we remember.
We hold in ourselves the hopes and fears of those who love us. As long as there is love and memory, there is no true loss.
Do you like the name Herondale? He asked.
It's your name, so I love it, she said.
There are some pretty bad Shadowhunter names I could have ended up with, he said. Bloodstick, Ravenhaven.
Bloodstick can't possibly be a name.
It may have fallen out of favor, he acknowledged.
Herondale, on the other hand, is melodic.
Dulcet, one might say. Think of the sound of Clary Herondale.
Oh my God, that sounds horrible.
We all must sacrifice for love. He grinned and reached around her to pick up the codex. This is old, an old edition, he said, turning it over. The inscription on the back is Milton.
Of course you know that, she said fondly, and leaned against him as he turned the book over in his hands.
Magnus had started a fire, and it was burning merrily at the lakeside, sending up sparks into the sky. The reflection of the burning raced along the scarlet of Isabel's necklace as she turned to say something to Simon, and it shone in the sharp gleam of Magnus's eyes and along the water of the lake, turning the ripples to lines of gold. It picked out the inscription written on the back of the codex as Jace read the words aloud to Clary, his voice as soft as music in the glittering dark.
Freely we serve, because we freely love, as in our will to love or not. In this we stand or fall.
The Mortal Instruments, Book 6, City of Heavenly Fire, was written by Cassandra Clare and read by Sophie Turner and Jason Doring. Editing and post-production by Frog Pond Productions. Terry Hogan was the mix engineer. The associate producer was Ben Rimmelauer. The Mortal Instruments, Book 6, City of Heavenly Fire, was produced and directed by Christina Zarathanidis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. City of Heavenly Fire is available in hardcover from Margaret K. McElderry Books. Also available from Simon & Schuster Audio, The Mortal Instruments, Book 2, City of Ashes, Book 3, City of Glass, both read by Natalie Moore, Book 4, City of Fallen Angels, read by Molly C. Quinn and Ed Westwick, and Book 5, City of Lost Souls, read by Molly C. Quinn.
And now a sneak peek at Cassandra Clare's new series, The Dark Artifices, coming fall 2015. A letter from the Fairy Court to the Los Angeles Institute. To Arthur Blackthorne, head of the Los Angeles Institute. We beseech you once more on a matter of great import. As you know, in past months, the marked and mutilated bodies of both our people and yours have been found all around the city of Los Angeles. This is your domain, and so once again we humble ourselves before you and ask for aid. After the events of the Dark War, the fair folk no longer fall under your protection and the protection of the Accords, but still we hope. It is rare for fairy to admit itself to be desperate, but we are desperate now. If you will not give us succor, then at least perhaps you will bargain with us. Investigate the deaths of our people, and we will grant unto you the return of your nephew, the brother of the children now living in your house. The Wild Hunt does not give back what belongs to it, but we will give Mark Blackthorne back to you. We await your words.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.